There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, 107 FM Talk, 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Tuesday. And we'll get to my buddy John Sharp from AL.com in 1 second. I want to read some of these texts have come in, a bunch of them here, but we'll pick a few. And Leanna, maybe you can help me with this. I did not see anything during the break. Jason, who I saw out at the event on Saturday at Langham Park. Jason said, Sean, did James Barber cancel his interview with Fox 10 yesterday, or did I just miss it? I have not. I looked, Jason. I did not see it. Leanna, if you let me know if it's up there, I just did not see it. I figured they would have it like way top of the fold if it was. Unnamed texture, I hear the relationship between Jimmy and Paul is strained at best. Yes, I've heard these things. But, you know, like to Derek's question earlier, I mean, saying you're dancing a political dance. I'm not. I'm just trying to find out. I'm trying to get both sides airing here, and I'm trying to find the truth. And just because, you know, in last week something could seem like the truth, you just want to get to the bottom of it. And there's more and more information coming out, you know. Soon to not be Chief Prine, retiring Chief Prine, is, you know, put out that, put that letter that was then redacted and sent out about 7 o'clock last night for the mayor's office. We read some of that. So I'm just kind of getting through this. But I wonder, and it may be simplistic with me right now, this idea of the echo stop. Is it just a question that here's this big purchase, and I'm just putting it into the world I know. Worked for broadcast companies, worked for people from Tuscaloosa to Mobile before I hung out my own shingle. And we would get some new piece of technology. Usually consultants came in and said, this is what's hot. We get this new thing. And sometimes these things were great, and sometimes they weren't. And it was almost like the emperor has no clothes. You better not say anything because the company spent so much money on this new technology. And, you know, you look at this question, is it that Echo Stop itself's not working, the machine, the program, whatever, the thing? Or is it, as has been leveled by the executive branch, Mayor Stimson's office, that it was implementation of that? So it's just a fair question. Meg says, good, Sean. Good job, Sean. That's why I always listen to you, because I feel you're always fair. Hey, Meg, I try to be. I try to be. You know, but just I've done this job long enough to know that you don't know everything at first blush. And then the last text here before we get to John, a texter said, I would be willing to bet the subject of Echo Stop will become a subject the mayor will not want to discuss. All right, and into that fray, here comes John Sharp from AL.com. Hey, man.
Hey, Sean, how you doing today?
I'm good. I'm doing good, even though I'm having inconveniences with fiscal resources. But other than that, I'm good. Today's city council meeting, I was wondering, you know, I told folks I watched as much as I could before I had to get ready to come on the air. Was there like a blue out? I mean, I heard that there were going to be people show up at this council meeting to show support for Chief Prine.
No, not in mass. There was a few people there that were in support of Chief Prine. I don't want to diminish their appearances there, but there was really, you know, the council rules are such that where if you want to sign up to speak before the council on a non-agenda item, you have to essentially sign up by Thursday the week before, I believe it's Thursday. And so there's some time frame there. It's not just that you can walk in. It's not like Fairhope. You can just walk in, sign up, and let loose. So there's a rigid structure there. And so the only person who signed up to speak out on this was Sabrina Mass, who we've seen. She's been a community activist for years. She's at all the council meetings, and you know, almost all of them, and is regularly outspoken on a lot of issues. So she spoke up on this today, but that was about the only one publicly. Then the few comments from Reggie Hill, who also is at every council meeting as well. There were a few police officers. I noticed them in the beginning of the meeting. They were standing in the back. you know, it's hard to tell whether or not some of them are in, you know, at the government plaza on a regular basis or not, but they were there. And that was about it. It was not a very, I guess you could say, newsy city council meeting from the perspective of anything moving forward on this issue that's kind of, you know, engulfed this community over the last 7 days. The council did meet in a closed-door executive session to discuss litigation, which they're entitled to do so in an executive session. And, you know, when we talked to C.J. Small at the end of it, the council president, about what was actually discussed or, you know, what he could talk about coming from that meeting. And it was kind of the overriding comment actually going into today's meeting that, you know, the council's waiting on this report from Kenyon Brown. They cannot really act or do anything or move forward with the leadership in the police department until they see this report, which we're all waiting for. And supposedly that's going to come and be released on Tuesday of next week. And so that's kind of the news of the day. Councilman Joel Daves announced he's not planning on running for re-election in 2025.
Huh.
Though that's unrelated to all this, but he just kind of laid that out there at the end of the council meeting. So this is the last of year or so of his tenure on the council.
That's interesting. I mean, he's not one of the new guard in the council, but he is not one of the old. He's, you know, he's been there what, how many years? Probably.
Yeah, he
seven?
Picked up at, yeah, three terms, I think. He picked it up after Reggie Copeland, who was there for a long time. So District 5's had a lot of stability there over the years.
Okay, I want to get into this as well. So, and just one last question. When I interviewed the mayor last week, I wondered this. I said, do y'all have a draft copy of Kenyon Brown's report? Because there's been some comment coming from the executive branch about things in the report, but yet the report is not released. And I don't think I got a good answer on that. Do you think, I mean, do they say, and if you ask that question, do they have a copy, like an early copy, a preview of it?
Not my understanding that's available for us or for the public, if there is one. I think there's been a little bit of pressure on Brown to get this released. Initially, there was talk last week of this report will be coming out in about 3 weeks. That got moved up till within a week, and now we're to next Tuesday. The concern and the question I have, and I ask, you know, maybe for some clarity, and hopefully we'll get some of this, is on Tuesday. You know, when the report's going to be of public interest, and you know, we're going to release to the council, but the council is going to go straight into executive session. When they come out of the executive session, it'll be 3 p.m. meeting time. Usually the council starts its meetings at 10:30 in the morning. They pushed the meeting back to 3 o'clock in order to have this executive session discuss litigation matters and, you know, all over this situation with the police chief. And, we may not have the report during that period. And so it could be one of those things where we show up at 3 o'clock, we'll get the report. The question I ask Councilman Small, are you voting on it, you know, potentially voting on dismissal next mm-hmm. Tuesday? He couldn't answer that, not knowing, you know, again, they're sticking to their, you know, their stance, like, we really don't know what's in the report yet. But, you know, he indicated they want to be fair to both sides. So, when will they bring the chief in to discuss things with him? I mean,
right.
You know, that question as well. And I don't know that answer right now. I couldn't get a sense on how the logistics and all this is going to be handled. But it's all going to come kind of to a head next week a little bit with the release of this report. And I would assume that, you know, we may have a few more people showing up to this council meeting.
Yeah, I wonder if the council voting to remove him versus him retiring. Is there any of that that's involved in, like, what kind of retirement you get or something like, you know, these things? I've worked in the private sector, so I don't know. There's the rules, but I know in public sector, big companies, there's like, okay, if you retire, it's this, but if you're asked to leave, it's that. Is it anything to do with that?
Well, there's a memo circulating on social media, and I got a copy of it that was purportedly written by Ricardo Woods from dated on March 27th, and it discusses two options of separation with the police chief. And I got questions out to the administration in regards to this memo and what it means. And my understanding is it may be now dated, clearly, after the events that have unfolded over the last week. But to what extent, I don't know at this point. So, yeah, that's all matters that need to be addressed as well.
Another thing over at AL.com, you have posted up, I think, the most recent thing, and I want y'all to go read all John's work. This one caught my eye. So Rob Blaski, so we've said that name several times since last week. Been talking about that. He's listed in this grievance from Chief Prine out there. He's Mobile Public Safety Director. I didn't really ever know what he did before. And you're right, he was the FBI's face after the Parkland massacre down in South Florida.
Yeah, that's correct. And it was brought out by Chief Prine in one of the emails he sent to the mayor. And it was just kind of like he linked up to these two stories and caught my attention. I said, well, okay, well, I'll take a look at this. That's quite public. I mean, you know, he was the field office director for the FBI office in Miami at the time of the Parkland shooting. Now, there was questions raised on whether or not, you know, on the FBI missing various tips, you know, that would have tipped them off on the shooter of one of the worst massacres in at a high school in U.S. history. And you know, as Lasky indicated at the time, that, you know, those tips were potentially missed in Washington, D.C. They didn't get to the field office in Miami. So it wasn't necessarily his fault on that situation, although there are some interesting issues that, you know, that are raising that story as well about a video blogger at the time who had gotten a questionable comment on his YouTube channel, and he forwarded it to the FBI, and he got a visit from the FBI in Mississippi, relayed information to the office in Miami. It was supposedly, you know, several months before the incident happened, from someone who purported to be Nicholas Cruz. And so, you know, but, you know, as Lasky indicated at that time, you know, there was no indication, you know, they couldn't trace that back to who actually wrote that. So, you know, just, you know, an interesting history there. You know, the administration, you know, they knew about that background when they hired him in October, so there wasn't any concerns. They felt like, you know, those were situations that had, they did not reflect poorly on the FBI office in Miami, that, you know, it was a more of a situation in the headquarters in D.C.
Yeah, I was wondering, I mean, how they found him. Was he, you know, was he on Monster.com looking for a job? You know, was he gone from the FBI? Was he recruited from there? I mean, what led the city to go, oh, here's a guy down in South Florida, let's hire him?
Well, he had some past background in the FBI office in Mobile before he got to Miami. So I didn't get into too much of that in the story, but I do know that, you know, there was a history here in Mobile. So, and then he wound up working for a different department at the city before he became the executive director of public safety. And, you know, the reason why we're shining a little bit of a light on that is because, you know, that's who the grievance focuses on, the grievance email. We keep talking about grievances, but there's no official document that indicates there's a, you know, this is the grievance document to the mayor's office. It's an email that Chief Prime made to Sandy Stimson, raising a concern about how he felt Rob Lasky had handled a certain situation in which a subordinate overheard potentially some derogatory comments. So that all that information was provided to us on Friday afternoon, and as well as yesterday, from an information request we made with the city. And so that's basically what that report was based on.
All right. There's a couple minutes left here, but I want to get, I know you've been down at city council. Are you watching anything today with the runoff, AL2 runoff?
Oh, yeah.
What do you think? Here, it puts you on the spot. You were always a participant in our college football pick'em, so I know you're a man that has a little bit of, you know, you like to game a chance here. Do we break 10%? Do we break double digits in turnout today?
You know, that's interesting. We were talking about that among some of the media before the council meeting. I'm saying right at 10 is where I'm going with this. I know it's been down in 8% land in Mobile before. I think we get it up to 10. Hopefully a little higher. But
I do, too. I hope it's higher. Yeah, people think, I don't want it to be low. I'm just going, you know, shaking my head saying, gosh, if that's all that comes out to decide, you know, what is going to be the bulk of Mobile, who represents, you know, either side, Democrats or Republicans, and, you know, 8% turnout. I mean, give me a break.
Yeah, it's that's why it's kind of hard to predict who's going to show up and vote at the general election based on primary elections. I know that's been a big thing for the Republican Party. I get that, that they feel momentum after the March 5th primary. Mm-hmm. But there's different dynamics at play here. Yes, there was a good turnout. For, you know, the Republican Party almost had more voters show up in a district that has been labeled all along as likely Democratic. Had a good turnout during March 5th. It'll be interesting what the turnout is today, you know, whether or not the Republicans surpass the Democrats on that. But what does that mean for the general election? I don't know if we can scientifically say, well, all of a sudden this is a swing district. Everybody I reach out to still labels this as likely Democratic, mm-hmm. although, you know, there are examples of likely Democratic districts in the United States that are represented by a Republican. So, yes, the Republicans do see this as an opportunity, and it will be the down ballot showcase competition, election, whatever you want to call it, in November. Obviously the presidential election is going to draw always draws a larger turnout in the November that it's held versus the non-presidential election year. So. There's going to be a lot more attention paid on this. I've seen a lot of last minute commercials that are interesting. I'm wondering if that's trying to, leading into this, figures had a big lead, on March 5th. That's
yes,
a lot
he
of
did.
Ground for Anthony Daniels to make up. And Dick Brubaker has a little bit of a lead, not as big as Daniel, as figures does, but, it'll be interesting to see where those Albritton votes split off to this evening.
Yep.
He endorsed Brubaker, but we'll see.
Is it as strong as the Lee Greenwood endorsement? That's the one. It's going to really tilt the scale.
Yeah,
it is interesting.
It's an interesting one. Also interesting tonight, the parties down here. Figures mm-hmm. is hosting his in Mobile, and Dobson's hosting hers in Mobile.
Yep.
Brubaker and Daniels are up in Montgomery.
And the signage at E.R. Dixon, there was signage for Shamari Figures and for Caroline Dobson, but not for Daniel. Maybe I saw one Daniel sign, but I didn't see a Brubaker. So I don't know. See if they've given up.
Well, I don't think that they've given up, but it's tough for Daniels. I know he did not do well down here on March 5th. It's tough for him to make up ground here. He's looking at the Montgomery, northern part of the district for his votes.
Very much so. All right, John, people want to reach out to you online, find out what you're doing. Where do they go?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter at johnsharp99, al.com as well, and Press Register Daily Digital.
All right, and you and I will be talking. Yeah, I'll be texting you tonight when the results come in. All right?
All right, sounds good.
Be good. There goes John Sharp, and we're coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 125 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Remember, check out the app, too, if you haven't gotten it. Man, join the club. It's free. It's waiting for you if you're an iPhone user over at the App Store. If you're a super hip Android user like myself, check it out at Google Play. Just look for FM TALK 1065. You'll see our logo. That's the app. It's free. Download it. Stream the station. Send us talkback messages, text, call through there, traffic maps on there, weather information, show schedules, all our great social media feeds that Leanna orchestrates all in one place with any kind of breaking news on there, plus podcast. The first place they post is to the app. So check it out, the FM Talk 106.5 app. Try to get a couple texts in here while I can, speaking of text. Dr. Mariana, reach out to me, Dr. Mariana, send me an email, said, remember there's three sides to every story, one side, the other side, and the truth. Yes, that's true, and that's what I've seen, in decades of doing this job. Terry says, Sean, I remember when two relatively low-tech law enforcement tools, pepper spray and tasers, were introduced. Police officers died because the tools worked, but not like the way they were sold to the politician and police departments. Politicians were and still blame the officers on the street when their pet projects don't work. If Mobile PD didn't implement the data right, then they weren't trained correctly. So that's either a vendor issue or whoever approved the contract and didn't make sure it was a stipulation that Mobile PD was properly trained. Wow, that's well thought out, Terry. That's let that resonate. Oh, here's my buddy, Mr. Happy. How are you, Mr. Happy? We hadn't talked in a while, man. I miss you. Said the mayor indicated there was a problem with Prine management style in the beginning. My question is, why wasn't Prine admonished in the beginning instead of staying in his position for 2 years? No wonder we get along. Mr. Happy, I asked the same dang question. I asked in that interview last week, maybe not in those, you know, eloquent words that you use, but in my way, I asked those same question, that same question of the mayor. He seemed to not be, didn't know there was a problem back then, right? So it's, but I thought the same thing. If you got a problem, you know. Paul says, since when does the police chief get to choose who he reports to? Yeah, and that was a question about the chain of command. Remember, and Paul, you bring up, we talked about that in the interview. Mayor Stimson said the way the chain of command, but another nuance to it, Paul, and like I said, I'm just trying to parse all this out, that if the grievance was about Lasky, if the grievance was about Barber, and those are in the chain of command, and the mayor says, I get these grievances and I turn it over to staff to investigate it and then bring it back, which is the executive role. That's a normal thing. You delegate, right? You get this and you go, okay, you do this, y'all come back to me, I'll make a decision on this. And I don't know this one way or another, but it seems like if the grievances were filed about those specific people, but those specific people were in charge of looking into it, shouldn't, if it was them specifically, wouldn't they have been recused from looking at the grievance, right? If the grievance is about the person, that person shouldn't be part of making, you know, doing the investigation into the grievance. I don't know if that's exactly how it went down, but that's kind of what I've heard. So, well, look, we're far from over. Next week, that meeting with the council will be the big one. As John said, next week's Tuesday meeting of the Mobile City Council will be a big discussion. All right, coming back, Work Zone Awareness Week. It's good that the human beings are around, like Skip and Morris, because they drive the vehicle that brings Millie to us. So Millie, who's a star around here, this is one of the, what, three or four dogs that make somewhat regular appearances on our shows. Millie's coming in just a little bit, and she's bringing with her Skip Poe and Morris King. We'll talk with them in just minutes.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back, Midday Mobile, on this Tuesday. Appreciate y'all going along with us on the app or on the good old-fashioned radio or those podcasts that so many people download out there. Still, and I was talking earlier about the interviews last week with Chief Prine and Mayor Stimson. Those interviews still up, so if you hear us referring to those interviews, you didn't get to hear it. They're up and waiting for you. Wherever you get your podcast, we're on there. I don't know if there's a platform we're not on, or you can go to fmtalk1065.com to the podcast platform, or like I say, the first place they post is to the FM Talk 1065 app. All right, back in studio, Millie. And she happened to once again bring Morris King and Skip Poe with her. Thanks for coming in, Millie and Morris and Skip. Thanks, y'all.
Thanks for having us.
Now Millie is on a, anybody who has retrievers and has seen the elevated dog stands, if you're in flooded field or something like that, Millie's got her own that has been brought into the FM Talk 106.5 studio. So she's ready there. She's mounted up on that, and she likes us. This gets her at head level with all of us.
Absolutely. She's ready to address the microphone.
Well, Millie's gotten to be pretty darn famous when it comes to her videos with bringing attention to work zones out there. How long is this for Millie?
So we've been doing the work zone with Millie for about 4 years now.
All right.
And the program you're speaking about, the video that you've seen, is a school program that we do across the state. So last fall we started that, and we traveled across the state. We haven't finished our tour. We're going to continue it the rest of this year and then the end of the fall. And as long as Millie's willing, we'll continue to travel.
Is this how y'all are doing this? You're going to get to the kids to get them to guilt the parents?
Yeah, so
yeah.
That's kind of the angle.
Well,
yeah.
No, I mean, we get straight to it here. I mean, they did that with smoking, right? Way back, they would get the kids, and the kids would go home. I remember telling Mom back when she spoke for a little bit, like, you can't do that. She's like, that school has got you lecturing me.
It is. So it's all about work zone safety, and so let's just say we're going to take a little different lane.
Okay,
so
I like it.
Yeah, we're on the road. We live it every day. So what we're doing is going and talking to, we're addressing fourth and fifth graders primarily. Our industry, we developed a coloring book.
Very good.
Which is Lessons from Millie. It's got different scenarios in it. And then we've got these cards. And what I do, I take Millie in. She gets on the stand you're talking about. We've got a PowerPoint presentation. And it's interactive for the children. And it's interesting, Sean, because one thing I ask them at the very beginning, and we've spoken to over 1,000 students, I always ask them, how many of you have been in a car when the driver was texting? And it's 100%.
What, I was about to say, what's the result?
Hands up, 100%. And so that kind of kicks off the discussion, mm-hmm. and then we dive a little deeper into that. Make it fun. We teach them how to identify a work zone, the things to look for, why work zones are important. And then at one point in the presentation, we bring some of the children forward, and we actually put workers' vest on them and create our own little work zone. We go through a texting routine, and then some of those students are actually involved in a struck-by incident. And at that point, it's very sobering for the mm-hmm. students, because now their classmates mm-hmm. have been struck by.
It, Boris, it's pretty genius. It is genius, because the way human beings work, they can hear your message and, you know, talk about slowing down in work zones. But having the kids say, hey, mom or dad, you know, that's unsafe. The second that happens, I think you elicit a bigger behavior out of the adult than you would with anything else. I think it's really a way to go.
Well, and that's our challenge to the kids. And we wrap this a little bit around a sports theme. Who wants to be on Millie's team? Who mm-hmm. wants to help Millie save lives? And again, it's 100% hands mm-hmm. up. And so what I challenge them to do is take that message home, talk to their mom and dad about it. And they do. We've gotten feedback from parents. I get phone calls occasionally. Well, it happened. They call me out. And that's good. That's what we want to happen.
And this isn't, you know, and Skip Pose and Alabama Road Builders, this is not a solution looking for a problem. I mean, Alabama ninth in road fatalities here in work zones?
Yes, and one thing about the color book, to think about it, this is the homework assignment. That's what the goal of this. They take in class, but then they can take it home, and then mom and dad can ask, what are you doing? And so not only in the car with them, but they can plant that seed beforehand, and now they have already been exposed to it. But yes, this is our week of the year. The big kickoff week is construction season, really fires up in April. And of course, Mobile, does it ever slow down?
No,
but
no.
The rest of the country, this is the week. And so we're having different events all across the state, starting last week, actually getting a head start in Montgomery at the Capitol. But then roughly yesterday, we had two big events here. We had a press conference. You probably saw some highlights mm-hmm. on the TV news last night. We had an inaugural event here in Mobile yesterday.
That was Millie, by the way, making that noise.
That was not either one of us. And so our national group, the art book, came down, and we had a live stream event over on the McGregor Avenue project, and mm-hmm. roughly we got to talk about struck-bys and what that means, and roughly this was the first time it was ever done in the country, the live streamed across the country, and we picked Mobile intentionally because this has been our bread and butter. This is our key work zone team for the state that spreads the message, and we're going Mobile to let that be the first place in the country to spread that message out.
But once again, back to what we're talking about, Boris, is that you get the workbooks and you do this thing and you educate kids, but this is probably what y'all don't want to put in your publication, but I will. Embarrassment is a great motivator. It is a great dang motivator. If the kid says, mom or dad, you are texting in a zone, I think that resonates more than anything talking directly to the parent. I think that embarrassment in front of their child and say, oh gosh, you know, Johnny or Sally, you're right.
Amen.
I mean, that's...
It is, and then the after the presentation, the children know the reasons why.
Mm-hmm.
So there's
which they can probably delineate to mom and dad. Well, what y'all don't know is that Alabama leads this, that, you know, go through the stats there.
Yeah, there's some counseling that can occur in reverse order for sure.
No, it's yeah. I think it's a brilliant way to look at it. No phones in cone zones, or is that the name? Is that
no the, phone in the cone zone?
No phone in the cone zone.
Yeah.
Really, I mean, and it's people say we're supposed to have phones anywhere, but this is specifically highlighting these work zones.
Yes, a lot of folks take for granted that the dangers they put themselves in, even in a work zone to begin with. 4 out of 5 people killed in a work zone are a driver or a passenger, and a lot of that comes, the bulk of that starts, or the biggest number, that statistic there is that it's going to start with speeding or distracted. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times it's not necessarily speed, it's distracted, and you're driving so fast, the the distraction, it's too late to do anything else. And so the best thing to do is, now we actually had a law passed in Alabama last year, supposed to be hands-free. Of course, you can hit the button
to answer the call, right?
Yes, but it's supposed to be in a cradle, not in your hand as you're driving down the road. Senator Jeba Wagner out of Birmingham got that passed last year, but it's not a primary offense. That may change under this session. That's actually on the table to go into the legislature now, but we still can do it. I mean, you can ride at 65 to Montgomery. I guarantee you're probably going to pass someone in the right-hand lane because they're in the left-hand lane, and they've got the phone in their hand trying to do something, and they're not paying attention to the road. But it's bad enough to be in regular traffic. Now you're in a work zone. There's now drums, cones, there's barrier rails, there's workers, lane, there's equipment. Yeah, yeah. You're a restricted area. That's the last thing you need to do is be fiddling with anything other than paying attention to the road.
You know, you and I have talked about this before, both of y'all and I, with what y'all do and seeing the people that work alongside the road. Nerves of steel, ice water in their veins. I see people, and they're doing their job. They're not doing anything, but I'm like, you almost just put out of your mind that a car could just to do the job, you almost would have to just put that behind you and work. Because I look at it, I go, I'd be nervous as a cat on a hot tin roof the whole time. I'd be over in the grass. You wouldn't get any work out of Sullivan. I'd be over there. But, I mean, they continue to work in these situations.
It's a true focus, and it's a true love for your work. To build roads and bridges, there's nothing like being out there as a new road's getting started and go from start to finish and watch it develop. You know, and some of that you just have to – you have to block out, because if you think about it, it will turn around and it'll run chills down your spine.
Yeah, if you've ever been, I mean, I'm thinking about the situation. If you've ever been alongside the road, changing a tire or doing something, had to get out, and just the nerves of here comes somebody down 60, up 65, down 65, just, and they're not doing anything wrong, just the speed they come by you at makes me just nervous as all get out. And I'm not working a job. I'm just trying to, you know, do something to get the car rolling.
And that is the reason. So actually, most fatalities in construction zones wind up being they're struck by. Someone's hit. Now, if you're behind, if it's an intrusion, you're behind cones or drums, you had a barrier protection. It's the shoulder incidents that roughly we've got to do better on. And so this last year alone, we lost a worker putting up signs for a lane closure. They hadn't started yet, and he got struck by. And
just putting up the signs to warn.
Just putting up signs to get ready, and then we lost a flagger on the shoulder. Someone hit them. Both of those were in the Auburn area. One was on I-85, one was on US 29, and it's because those type incidents and those in the past, the ones like Marshall Walton, who's trying to do the same thing. He's trying to put up the traffic control to start the day, and he got hit. It was time to us to do something. So this year, House Bill 315 by Representative Brett Marcus and then Senator Gerald Allen, who's been a longtime friend and got the double fine law passed several years ago, were making changes to the Move Over Act. And I'm like, well, while y'all are doing that, it's time for us to count not just wreckers and first responders. It's time for us now to get construction vehicles, maintenance vehicles, even surveying vehicles. You've seen those. The new projects coming, they're already surveying all those and their workers. So that should hopefully get through the legislature in the next week or two.
Yeah, put that in like regular people language. What would that mean? So the Move Over, like, yes.
So if it passes, then roughly it's just like a first responder. You have to, as you approach, like on the interstate and they're on the shoulder, you have to move over into the adjacent lane. If there's not room because there's traffic, then you're required to slow down 15 miles per hour.
Okay.
And that alone, the difference in getting hit at 40 and the difference in getting hit at 65, 70, 75 is one's an injury
time.
And one's death.
Yeah, and also the reaction time.
Yes.
At 15, you can actually apply brakes and
right.
Have that be successful. Well, I like the fact that you're going after the kids on this to get mom and dads to change their behaviors, which you are looking to do. But, yeah, you also are putting, if this passes, another putting some teeth into it. Not your teeth, Millie, but putting teeth into this, you know, if somebody does, you know, not follow the law.
And the fines are going to increase. So it's one of those things. One is an educational message, and then one is more of a defense mechanism. What can we do to make sure that we're protecting the men and women who are out there working so hard every day to build our roads and bridges?
How do we compare to other states? I don't know if y'all have that information, like the way our laws are in Alabama to other southeastern states or any state in the country.
You know, a lot of states have gone to the hands-free, so we're following that model right now. As far as fines and work zones, most states are taking that same approach we've had. They're doubling their fines. They're increasing those fines to try to send a message. You're not going to do anything else, get in the pocketbook, and then at that point in time, it's a lot different to pay a $150 speeding ticket. Now pay, after court costs, $300, $400. So the best way to turn around and get someone's attention is to get in their – what's in the checkbook by the time you get through?
Get in their pocket after they get a lecture from from Johnny and Sally about not to do it.
But here's one thing about it. Over the last 10, 12 years, every year, fatalities in work zones increases. There is a national high each year. And so, but
is it because of growth in road work, or is it per capita? You know, is it?
I think it's a combination. There's more road work, but there's more traffic on the country everywhere we go. So statistically speaking, that's going to happen at some point in time. But since we passed the double fine law in 2021, our crashes and fatalities actually have been on the decline. There was a slight uptick in fatalities last year. Overall, the number still, I mean, it's not a bad number from 18 to 23, but that's still 23 too many. Mm-hmm. But the case, our crashes are going down. And we're attributing that is maybe the case of the law's working. It's getting to people's pocketbook. They're changing their behavior, at least in work zone. But as long as that number of fatalities is greater than zero, then that means we still have work to do to spread our message each year.
Morris?
As you were talking about the laws, I was going to add that in our school program, the state troopers go with us. So we have a state trooper accompanying us to the schools when they're available. Mm-hmm. And so there's a part in our program we actually let the trooper speak and address the kids. And it really brings an official flair to the presentation. And you talk about kids coming to attention.
Right. Well, when the big hat comes out.
Yeah.
And they run a public service announcement here on our station that it's not for the kids, it's for the grownups. But it's a description of what it's been like on crash sites on the interstates and what they saw, and that one is sobering as well. And they get a good form. They get descriptive. Might have, my mother clutch her pearls to hear it, but, I mean, it's descriptive about what they find in the bodies there, and that one gets your attention, too. Yep. People want to get more information about this program or, talk about with the kids and all that. Where they go? Online? You got somewhere to go?
There's a variety of different websites. As workzone.org, and if I'm remembering that correctly, it's probably one of the best websites to start checking. Or you can just really Google National Work Zone Safety Awareness Week, and that alone will link you into the three or four different types of agencies or associations like ours that roughly have got information out there.
All right. Millie, I appreciate you bringing Morris and Skip in again. Millie's always welcome here, and y'all are too. So thanks for the work you're doing, and best of luck on that. And I like the embarrassing the parents. This is how you get success out there. Well done. Coming right back. More Midday Mobile. News is next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 155 FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile on this Tuesday. Glad to have you along. And good to have Millie still in the studio with the human beings as well. By the way, Millie, state trooper, so Officer Millie. She's got her state trooper. You'll see this in the pictures Leanna puts up on the Facebook page. She's an official state trooper. So, Millie, if I get a ticket or something, I'm going to give you a call, see if you can help me out. Another thing I wanted to check in on here. I've been telling you about my buddy Clint Jameson at Adventure Earth Bicycles, who a year and a half, 2 years ago, got me back into riding a bike at pushing 52 years old and an e-bike at that. And yes, you can run an e-bike with just all electric, but you can also run an e-bike in like an eco mode where I do it that just kind of gives you a little boost if you need it. So you ride more often, get more exercise, ride more hours, more days, actually looking forward to riding the bicycle. So I've told you how much I love the e-bikes, and 50 in stock at any time at Adventure Earth Bicycles for you to go take a test ride on. Different bikes for on-road, like I got an off-road one, but you might just need an on-road one or a hybrid one or an off-road one. Like I have different suspensions. They're fantastic. But in addition to the bicycles themselves, I've been talking about all the accessories at Adventure Earth Bicycles. They got the panniers, they've got the racks, they got the clips for holding everything you need on that bike. And in addition, how do you haul the bike unless you got a pickup like me and throw it in the back? They got racks for those bikes from Swagman, Thule, and Kuat. They also have a great assortment of the cycling bags that go with it. Now, another thing to point out, I did this during Christmas a lot when people were going to Adventure Earth Bicycles buying non-e-bikes like for their kids. That you don't get a box of parts. You get a finished bicycle that has been put together and tuned. I mean, he's got the bike shop. He's been doing this for a couple decades. Tune the bike, put it together. And in addition to having that bike put together like that when you pick it up, when you buy a bike from Adventure Earth Bicycles, you can bring it back quarterly and get the tune-up on it. So all the greasing of the chain, all the work on the brakes, make sure everything's functioning. He'll do that as well. So go see my buddy Clint at Adventure Earth Bicycles right there at the corner of Little Flower and Government in Midtown, kind of catty corner across from Bruce Chris. See him online at adventure-earth.com. But go see them in person is the best. Take that test ride on that e-bike and get the outfitting done on it as well. And if you need that rack and all the other goodies to go with it, he's got that as well. All right. And Jason, this is good. So, Jason, I'm going to be heading out that way here just a little bit. Jason said that he was number 37. Now, this is... So John Sharp and I had that discussion. I hope when I say this stuff, I'm not saying it because I want turnout to be 100%. I know it won't be. I'm worried we don't break 10% in turnout today in the AL2 runoff. Jason said he was number 37 to vote at Blount High School as of 1:45. Number 37? You know, I heard from some people they were like 200, 294. You know, you can look at that when you go out, when you go vote. You see how many people have voted already. If you hadn't gone out and voted yet, you're an AL2. You owe it to yourself to go. You owe it to us. You owe it to the people that preceded us in this republic to get your butt out and vote. Well, let's break double digits, huh? Diminish the expectations, but that's all I got. All right, Paul Feinbaum Show on the way next. I'll talk to y'all tomorrow.